this is a, basically this was already set in stone that they were going to kill Christ, but they were trying to figure out a way to take him that wouldn't cause an uproar. All right. This is the reasoning for Judas coming at the Garden of Gethsemane in the middle of the night and betraying Christ with a kiss there and the soldiers taking him from there. All right. Why? Because the chief priests and the scribes, they feared the people. And so they were seeking a way that they could take Christ without it being public and such a public display that may cause an uproar. All right. So the Bible tells us in verse number 3, then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Now, this is very interesting, and it gets very interesting in the end times, because the Bible tells us that there is a man, the Antichrist, and he is referred to as the son of perdition. This is the same name that Jesus gave to Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot is the only individual in the Bible that is recorded to have Satan literally possess him or come into him. So you do not have another recording of Satan entering into an individual. We have demonic spirits entering into individuals, but this is an account which tells us that Satan entered into Judas Iscariot. Many believe because of that and because of the name given to Judas Iscariot and because of another similar or another aspect of the Antichrist was that he had a wound to his head unto death. And they believe that based on that, he was a resurrected individual that had a wound to his head that he died from. The Bible tells us that Judas hung himself and then he fell headlong to the earth and bursted asunder. And so once again, a supernatural death to Judas, which caused a wound to his head. Many believe that Judas will be resurrected and will be the Antichrist. And what there's not a better example of the Antichrist than Judas, considering that he spent 3 years walking with Christ and deceiving the entire group and the entire time while he did that. All right. Now, so then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains. This is Judas, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. So in other words, once again, privately, not in amongst the crowd or in the public, he sought to do this. The Bible tells us in verse number 7, then came the day of the unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. I'm going to skip several verses here. As you know, Jesus told them to go into the city and they'd find a man with a pitcher of water. They were to follow him into the house and then ask the master for the room that was prepared upstairs, an upper room, if you will. And it was prepared. It was done just as Jesus had described it. And the Bible goes on in Luke chapter number 22, and we see the Lord's Supper taking place. In the middle of the Lord's Supper, we're going to move down to verse number 21. And the Bible says, but behold, the hand of him, this is Jesus speaking, that betrayeth me is with me on the table. All right. Now, when we go over to John chapter number 13, Jesus says that the one that betray him is the one that he, when he dips the sop in and hands it to him, he said, that's the man that betrayed me. And the Bible says that he dipped it and handed it to Judas. All right. It should have been an eye opener, but apparently it wasn't. All right. All right. So here's why it wasn't. Check this out. Verse number 22. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. Verse number 23, here it is. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. Verse 24, and there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. They were so wrapped up in themselves that they missed the message that Jesus plainly gave them concerning who would betray him. They were so worried about which one of us is going to be the greatest. Oh, I need somebody to help me right here. You never say that out loud, but you think it every day. Oh, we never admit to it, but at the end of it all and at the end of every day, I need somebody to help me right here. It's all about us. I'm talking to me too, all right? These sermons beat me up far more than they do you, all right? Because I have to get right before I can preach them. I have to make sure I'm right before I can preach them. That's what hurts, man. Y'all get to decide whether or not y'all want to do anything with it or not. Y'all can just hear me out and leave and take it and keep on being selfish. Is everybody all right? These guys were sitting around saying, hey, Jesse, I wonder if I'm going to be the greatest. You don't think Brother Mark's going to be the greatest, do you? Brother Mark ain't going to be the greatest. He talks too much. Jesse, you don't think Brother Brian's going to be the greatest, do you? We better not talk about Brother Brian, what he does. We'll go, is everybody all right? We wouldn't be doing this, but you understand what I'm saying. We have the attitude of how great it's all about me. And that's where they were at in this present time. This is what they're dealing with. Now, the Bible tells us that wasn't all that was going on. Jesus gives them a story, and he says, there was also a verse number 25, and he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doeth or that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is it not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And so it goes on, and we find Peter, the story of Peter saying, I'll go with you to the death. And Jesus telling him, man, before the night's over with, you're going to deny me three times. Before the rooster crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times tonight. Right? And this is the story of the Last Supper. Now I want you to go over with the thought, all of this was going on, and Jesus said this. He said, he who is greatest, he was talking to him about he who is greatest, and he said this, he was coming to serve. Who was the greatest that was at that table? Jesus. And he says, but I cometh to serve. And in John chapter number 13, he gives us an example of serving. So we're going to take a look at that. How many of you in John chapter number 13? How many of you are scared of it? You should be. All right. Now, verse number 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, this could be rendered, by the way, from the translation we have, and supper being ended. But from the manuscripts, this could be translated, and probably might should have been translated, and supper beginning. Supper had already began. This was probably going on during these guys talking about who is the greatest, all right? So if you get your timeline together, this is probably when this takes place. And the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Now, that's an important verse in here. We can't just pass it over because it shows that the mindset of Christ, he was God. And so he, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, this is the mindset of Christ. He knew that he was God in the flesh, all right? Now, this is important because we're going to see him humble himself to that of a servant. This verse wasn't just put in here for us to just skip over, but this verse was put in here so that we'd know exactly who he was, and it would be such a stark contrast to what he's fixing to do. Okay, so as we move to verse number 4, it says, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Now, listen, before we get all upset at Peter, this was the correct answer. I need somebody to help me. Before we get all upset with Simon Peter and we go to talking bad about Simon Peter and everything else, you have to understand, Simon Peter had a love for Christ that was more open, more candid, more bold than any other disciple. And as much as we like to beat up on Simon Peter, there wasn't one. You got to remember, it was Simon Peter that preached at Pentecost and 3,000 people got saved. Jesus seen past the faults of this man. He seen his true love that he had for Christ, all right? So when Peter says, thou shalt never wash my feet, don't take that as Peter rebuking him. Understand that Peter understood his relationship to Jesus, and he said, this isn't right. That's what he's saying. This isn't how it should be. I should be washing your feet. This is the mind and the heart of Simon Peter right here in scripture when he says, I shall never wash my feet. I've heard people talk about, well, he was rebuking Christ and this, that, and the other. You have to understand his heart. This man had just said, I'll go to the death with you. And now Jesus is washing his feet. And he said, wait a minute, this is wrong. You shouldn't be washing my feet. I should be washing yours. But Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. So then look in what Simon Peter says. He says, Simon Peter, verse number 9. He says, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, so when Jesus corrected him and said, look here, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Jesus, and then Simon Peter said, well, I want all of it then. You wash my feet, wash my hands, wash my head. I mean, whatever you got to wash, you wash, Lord. And this is what Jesus said to him. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Oh, man, can you imagine? That must have cut like a knife. Jesus is there with the 12, and he says, ye are clean. Come on, y'all. I'm thinking that maybe Judas was sitting over there in the corner about where Trent is, because he was kind of standoffish, and he was probably sitting over there about where Trent was, and Jesus said, hey, ye are clean, but not all. Is everybody all right? Hey, Jesus tried to tell them who it was. They just wasn't listening. I can imagine Judas was like, everybody all right? Bible says in verse number 11, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I've done to you? He says, you call me master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. He says, I am. I am your Lord, but I am the Lord. He said, you say well. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Now I gotta stay with the context. What were these boys arguing? Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? They were arguing the greatest. Now listen, the servant of the house, the lowest of the servants, would be the one that would wash the feet. And yet, all of them thought themselves too good to wash each other's feet. Is everybody all right? And so Jesus teaches us a lesson here by the greatest serving those that are least. Oh, I need somebody to help me. This is going to be tough on everybody. Now listen, don't worry about it. We don't do foot washings around here, all right? I believe this is the attitude of service. We're to serve one another, and I believe that's what Jesus was saying. You don't find anywhere in the early church. I ain't found anywhere in the early church where they broke out in foot washings all the time. Is everybody all right? So it's the attitude of serving one another, not who's the greatest. It's not an act of selfishness of who's the greatest, but it's an act of putting somebody above you. Oh, I need somebody. Y'all, this is better than that, y'all. It's the attitude of serving rather than being served. Y'all remember, some of y'all don't even know what I'm fixing to say and who I'm talking about, but President Kennedy, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Same mindset ought to be done in the church. Ask not what everybody else can do for me, but what can I do for everybody else? Is everybody all right? As we look at this passage of scripture, Jesus says in verse number 15, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Boy, listen. We forfeit a lot of happiness by being so selfish. I need somebody to help me right here. Brother Vic, I'm reminded of the hurricane. And Brother Vic come to me, he said, hey, I want to cook some hot dogs. And I want to give out some hot dogs to these people that are traveling out there on the interstate. Preacher, do you mind if I use the grill or this, that, and other? I said, man, shoot, yeah, go ahead. Do what you got to do, man. So they started off with like 100 to 200 hot dogs. And I think by the time that thing ended, they had served over 2,000, 3,000 hot dogs. I don't know how many hot dogs. But they cooked hot dogs out there on the side of the interstate. And that interstate was packed. It wasn't even moving. And as cars come by, it was hot dogs given to them, chips given to them. We had drinks out there. People from the community, other churches was bringing stuff. I mean, it was like a community effort. Lake Park was put on the map. There was radio stations in Tennessee talking about right above the state line in Georgia, how churches were gathering together. The community of Lake Park was feeding these motorists that were out there stranded on the highway or on the interstate and all of that. And if you were a part of that, come on now, if you were a part of that, we went over there and we served, we walked around, we met people, shook hands, took food to people, give it out, didn't charge them anything, listened to testimonies, people crying, they left everything, didn't know if they were returning to their home, didn't know if they'd have a home when they got back, they had to leave dogs and had to leave pets, and they'd had all these things and all these stories was going on. And I want to say this, probably the greatest thing that I was ever a part of was serving somebody else. Man, it was so happy. It was such a good time. And yet we forfeit so much happiness because we spend so much time on us. I ain't even got to the sermon yet. Is everybody all right? We're still in the introduction. But we spend so much time about it being about us as the disciples were that we miss out on a lot of things in life. And Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. You know it now. So the Bible says, happy are you if you do them. Some of you are looking for happiness, and happiness is found right here in the scripture in John chapter number 13. Bible says in verse number 18, I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it has come to pass, you may believe that I am he. And by the way, how many of you have a King James Bible and you see he is italicized? Oh, I need somebody to help me. Don't miss this. This is what Jesus says. You may believe that I am. Woo! Hey, I need somebody to help me. He was letting them know who he was. The Bible goes on. It says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I sendeth receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in the spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked on one another, doubting of whom he spoke. Now there was one leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Pretty much answered that question. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you. Verse number 34 and 35, and we're done. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. I'm not going to preach the sermon that I had tonight because it's way too long. Is everybody all right? I'm going to give you the gist of what I was wanting to preach to you tonight. And we're going to go home. All right? In the scripture, Jesus, as we've seen, in Luke 22, Satan entered into Judas before the supper. We see during the supper that Jesus gets up and he takes off his garments, puts on a towel, a servant's garments. That's the meaning of that. Don't take it any perverse way or anything like that. He took off his robe and put on the clothes of a servant. And he went about the table washing the feet of the disciples, teaching them a lesson. I believe he taught them. I believe this lesson is for all of us. I'll give you them four lessons that I believe is taught right here. Number one, to humble ourselves. I believe that's a lesson that is taught by Jesus. If there was anybody that showed humility here at this supper, it was Jesus. This was God. This was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. This was the one who very, very abruptly claimed, I am. All right, at the supper table. And here he is, donning the clothes of a servant, performing the task of a servant, humbling himself to those around him. I believe there was a lesson of humility. We're to humble ourselves. I believe there's a lesson that we're to serve others. I need somebody to help me. It ain't all about us. It's about serving somebody else. Matter of fact, Jesus didn't ask for no accommodation. He didn't ask for no hand clap. He didn't ask for no praise. But he showed us an example of how when we meet together, we should serve one another. I believe he teaches us that we ought to love one another. And of course, we hear a new commandment that he gave us at the end of our reading there in verse number 34 and verse number 35, that we are to love one another.
Amen.
We got to love each other. I need somebody to help me. We got to love each other. Brother Kenny, it ain't always easy to love people. Easy now. It ain't always easy. Somebody got to help me. It ain't always easy, Brother Edwin, to love people. It's easy to love ourselves, but it ain't so easy to love others. Jesus is commanding us in this passage of Scripture that we're to love others. He's giving us an example how we're to humble ourselves, how we are to serve others. I had another one in there, but I forgot it, and I'm not walking back up there to get it, all right? But as it'll come to me sometime during the sermon, hopefully, all right? But if it doesn't, that'll be all right. The point that I want to show you is this. Jesus said that we're to love one another. If we go through the events that I mentioned, if we start off and go through them, Satan entered Judas Iscariot before the supper. Satan put it in his heart to betray Christ. Before the supper ever took place, y'all listen to me, according to Luke chapter number 22, before the supper ever took place, Judas had already met with the chief priests and the scribes and consulted on how they could take Christ without incident. He'd already covenanted with them over money in Luke chapter number 22. He comes into the supper later in Luke chapter 22. Listen, is everybody with me? And the man that would betray Christ, who is possessed by Satan,
amen.
The Bible says in John chapter number 13 and verse number 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Judas was chosen by Christ. Now we know that Judas fulfilled a purpose when it comes to prophecy. He was prophesied to betray Christ, and so he fulfilled he was an active part in our redemption as he fulfilled the prophecy of betraying Christ. But what I don't want you to miss is this. Jesus chose him. And Jesus said this. He said, I have loved, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them until the end. Y'all, he washed Judas' feet, knowing that he would betray him. He washed Judas' feet, knowing that he was a thief. He washed Judas' feet, and according to Scripture, he loved him, even in the middle of Judas' betrayal. And Jesus said, I've set this example. I need somebody to help me. And this is how you are to do one another. Man, now let's talk about that loving people. It says hard to love somebody. It's even harder to love somebody when they betrayed you. It's even harder to love somebody when they stole from you. I need somebody to help. Peter would deny him. Thomas would doubt him. Bartholomew said of him, has any good thing come out of Galilee or Nazareth? Is everybody all right? John and his brother James, the sons of thunder, they were so selfish, according to one portion of Scripture, they were the ones that were arguing over. James said, hey, grant it that we may sit next to you. We want to sit next to you in the kingdom. In other words, we want to sit up there by the throne. Is everybody all right? A little pride issue, maybe. We know John had a pride issue over and over in Scripture. John let us know that he had a pride issue. Right here in John chapter number 13, that disciple that was leaning on Jesus' breast, that was John being humble and saying that he was the one that was loved. Over and over again, he said the disciple whom Jesus loved, he was talking about himself. A matter of fact, when they ran to the tomb, he said, Peter went before him, but he said, and that disciple whom Jesus loved outran Peter. John had a pride issue. Is everybody all right? My point is this. Jesus loved imperfect people. And yes, he does. And we all ought to be thankful for that. This passage of Scripture, Jesus is teaching us something that you and I have yet to master and probably never will.
That's right.
But it is a bar that has been set for you and I to serve others no matter how they treat us.
That's right.
I'm going to tell y'all, man, that's hard. When somebody does me wrong, I don't even want to talk to them. I know my flesh, Brother Kenny. And it's been a long time since I hit anybody, but I'm capable of doing it. Y'all better hear me. Some of y'all really need to hear me. I ain't that saved. I try to be. My wife would tell you, I need a cool down period. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Just give me a cool down period and then we'll be all right. But here Jesus is telling us, Judas betrayed him. Satan was in him. Goodness, y'all didn't catch that. See, it wasn't just Jesus at the supper. It wasn't just the 12 at the supper. But Satan was there. And Jesus washed the feet of Judas with Satan in him. And gives us an example. Oh, his greatest enemy, he served. I don't know about y'all. That thing, too close. No, I said too close. It is. Man, that thing tore me up today. His greatest enemy, he served. He taught that, the Sermon on the Mount. He said, you have heard to hate your enemy, but he said, I need to love your enemy. Pray for him. And he, according to the Bible, washed the feet of Jesus. And if you look at the timeline, Satan had already entered him. Everybody with me? Here's something we all need to think about. Because we like to look at Judas and man, we like to just tear him apart and everything else. But in Luke 22, Jesus said this to Simon Peter. Satan has desired you to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. Listen to me. Listen. We could very well be talking about Simon Peter betraying Christ rather than Judas Iscariot.
That's right.
So before we start to think that we got all together. Understand that you are who you are by the grace of God. Listen, and we are to serve one another despite our failures, despite our faults, despite our quirks. I need somebody. Y'all got y'all some quirky people. We're to serve one another. I am too. I'm all right. I'm all right with saying it. We're to serve one another. Now, Dalton's coming to the piano. He probably needs this. He probably needs the altar. He's over there hollering too close. But I need somebody. See, I know y'all too good. You know how I know y'all too good? Because y'all are too much like me. And I know this thing done crawled all up in your lap. They some people right now that you won't talk to. They some people right now you mad at because they done something to you. They've upset you in some way or some form, some other way. Come on now. Hey, you ain't got to wait. She didn't wait. Y'all ain't got to wait. Some of us need to get right with God because we're not following the example that he set. We're not loving like he loved. We're not serving like he served. We're not doing what we were instructed to do. We're not loving. The Bible says he loved them to the end. Man, that thing, man, it got a hold of me. Think about this. The one that betrayed him, he loved him to the end. The one that would do him wrong, he loved him to the very end. He loved him all the way to the cross. Before we start looking bad about Judas, looking at what all Judas did to betray Christ, we need to take a real good look at ourselves. Because you and I have betrayed him. Amen. You and I have stole from him. You and I have lied to him. We've deceived him. Come on now. Tried to. He ain't deceived nobody. We ain't deceived him. We've tried to deceive him, tried to hide things, cover things up. And he loved us all the way to the cross. Heads are bowed with me. Folks found their way to the altar. If you need to come, you come. Jesus loved his greatest enemy. He served his greatest enemy by washing the feet of Judas. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. Lord, a tough sermon to swallow. Lord, we're more like the disciples that are arguing over what they're entitled to or who should be the greatest than we are about serving in humility and serving one another. Lord, tonight I pray that you'd take this sermon, Lord, a reminder. We've heard it before, but a reminder that God, while we're here, we show others that we are your disciples by how we love one another. God, I pray tonight, Lord, we get a hold of it. Lord, start coming to church not to be served, but for an opportunity to serve others, to be kind to others, to love others. Look for ways that we can be a blessing to others. God, help me to do the same. Heads are bowed and eyes closed with me if you're here tonight. And I know there's somebody here that says this is impossible. I want you to know I'm praying for you. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope tonight you got a good glimpse of how much Christ loves you. Bible says, but God commendeth, he proved, demonstrated his love towards us And that while we were yet sinners, filthy, Judas-like, Christ died for us. We all should be grateful and thankful for a forgiving God. Tonight, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you've never experienced full forgiveness. Tonight, if you say and be honest with me and say, "Preacher, I do not know where I'd spend eternity if I was to die," I want you to do me a favor. We'll make it real easy. Just raise your hand up where I can see it. You can put it right back down. Is there anybody like that? I'd love to get this thing settled tonight. Let me do it this way. I'm going to come down front. If you're here tonight and you're ready to get this thing settled, I want you to meet me. I'll come to where you're at. I'll walk down I'll meet you halfway. But how about we settle this thing tonight? And you can leave out of here with a peace, knowing where you'd spend eternity. The same writer, John, writes to us later and says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Tonight, you know. You lay your head down on a pillow tonight knowing. Won't you come? All right, our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for loving us. Lord, I thank you for Scripture tonight. We read a lot. I love reading your word. I love expounding on your word. There's so many things we miss when we just glaze over it, go through our routine of reading. God, I pray you take the Scripture tonight, grave it upon our hearts. May we apply it to our lives and live accordingly. May we serve others as you have served. May we love and serve our greatest enemies the way that you loved and served yours.